As of the first month of 2014, I've discovered conclusive evidence that all the so-called popes and cardinals, from Innocent II onward, had been idolaters or formal heretics, and thus were apostate anti-popes and apostate anti-cardinals. Also, all of the theologians and canon lawyers from 1250 onward have been apostates. See RJMI article and audio, No Popes or Cardinals Since 1130. Hence, all of their teachings, laws, judgments, and other acts are null and void. Therefore, all of the ecumenical councils, canon laws, and other acts from apostate anti-pope Innocent II onward are null and void. This recording was made before the first month of 2014. Therefore, some of the popes I may refer to in it were actually apostate antipopes, and thus all of their teachings, councils, canon laws, and other acts are invalid, null and void. And some of the theologians I may refer to were actually apostates. However, the teachings, laws, and judgments of the apostate antipopes, apostate theologians, invalid councils, or invalid canon laws are nevertheless useful to quote, since they reflect dogmas, good laws, or good judgments that were validly enacted by true popes or taught by Catholic theologians or true saints. All right, today is July 1st, year 2007, and it's also the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. And today we're going to continue with our sermon about judging. The first sermon we had was on judging in general, I think. What was it? And then judging hearts. And now we're going to talk about judging the dead. And we're going to bring up certain, we're going to actually refute one a very big heresy that's happening today. There are people that say, we don't know what kind of people go to hell. In other words, who's in hell? All right, now we have to make a distinction on what we're talking about here. We may not know what particular person is in hell, unless by a special revelation from God, because they could have repented before they died. But we absolutely can know for certain, and it's church dogma, what types of people go to hell. And that's what we're going to talk about during this sermon about judging the dead. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in Hebrews 9:27 that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. So, we have a pretty cruel God who tells us, like Jesus did tell us, that most people go to hell. He said that in Matthew 7:13-14, enter the narrow gate, for narrow is the gate and straight is the way that leads to life, and few there are that find it. And in Matthew 20:16, many are called, few are chosen, and throughout the Old Testament scriptures, that very few people are saved. And he even tells us in St. Peter says in 1 Peter 4:18, that if the just man shall barely be saved, where should the ungodly and sinner appear? So it's also, this relates to the Catholic dogma that our Lord God tells us, as dogma, that almost everybody goes to hell and very, very, very few people are saved. That's dogma. Now, what kind of a God would it be who tells us that almost all of us are going to hell, but gives us no way to know who is going to hell so as to avoid hell? Now, these modernist heretics will absolutely have the audacity to say, we cannot say what type of people go to hell. Now, we have to make, some of them are very coy and they're very sly. They'll come up and say stuff like this. Well, you don't know what individual person is hell. Let's say we're talking about a person, Joe Smith, is one person, and he's a Lutheran, and he died. And they said, well, you don't know if he converted before he died on his deathbed. I says, well, fine, if he converted on his deathbed, and he really converted on his deathbed before he died, and that means he rejected his Lutheran religion as a false religion and professed the Catholic faith in the Catholic Church and submission to the Catholic Church, fine, that guy's no longer a Lutheran. He's now a Catholic and he can be saved. I got no problem with that. That could happen on the deathbed. There are such a thing as deathbed conversions. And boy, that's great when that happens. But we're going to get into the later on that doesn't happen so often. So don't put your faith in deathbed conversions. It's a very, very, very rare thing. But nevertheless, it could happen. Mm-hmm. So the church does teach. We don't know who's in hell for sure because they may have converted before they die. But one thing we do know is that if somebody died without any explicit proof of conversion, he's presumed in hell. And he is also among the unfaithful departed. He cannot be prayed for as faithfully departed. Now, we're going to get into all that as we go along. We're going to get back to the idea of the heresy where people say, we don't know what types of people are in hell. Okay? Now, if God did do this, we got a very vicious God. I mean, something is very wrong with this God that tells us, hey, guess what, mankind? Almost every one of you guys are going to hell, and I ain't going to tell you who and how and why. I ain't going to tell you. Now, this is totally contrary to the Holy Scriptures and the Catholic Church's infallible dogmas. all right, where we read a few scriptures in which we find out what type of people go to hell. Okay? Now, if that Lutheran I was just talking about did not convert on his deathbed and died as a Lutheran and went to his particular judgment before Jesus Christ as a Lutheran, he's damned to hell. That's dogma. It's not maybe. It's not I don't know. It's definite. That we must know. And I'll just relate a little story. I was talking to about when I had a Protestant call me when I was up in the monasteries. I was in a monastery a couple years ago. And a Protestant was telling him, he's still a Protestant, and he was praying with these Bayside bums, these heretics from the Bayside group, and he was praying the rosary. And no one ever told me how to become Catholic, because they don't believe in the dogma. But he started to listen to some of the teachings, he heard one of my sermons, and he called up and he wanted to find out what was going on. He had a little bit of fear of God in him. And he says, I hear what you're telling me, that no Protestant or anybody can be saved. I says, no, they can't. You have to be, only Catholics have a hope to be saved. And by the way, the types of people that go to hell are all non-Catholics and all Catholics in mortal sin. It's that simple. These are the two categories we're going to get into and show it to you. Where the types of people that are definitely damned to hell is everybody who dies as a non-Catholic and goes to the particular judgment, and every Catholic who dies in mortal sin and goes to the particular judgment, that's a dogma. They are in hell. So he's on the phone telling me, he says, I've been praying the rosary. I said, look, unless you become a Catholic, he says, I told him, you can't save your soul. He says, you mean I've been praying this rosary all this time for nothing? I says, no, you're talking to me now on the phone, aren't you? This is your moment for salvation. I am now telling you, don't think you can just keep praying the rosary and remain a Protestant. You have to enter the Catholic Church and abjure your false religion. And if nobody told you that in the Bayside group, that's because they're not Catholic neither. Get away from them. They're lying to you. And I quoted the bulls on that. Then he says, well, but my mother, he says, she was a Protestant. And he goes like this. And on her deathbed, when she was dying, I think she might have had a deathbed conversion. I says, well, what happened? And he says, well, she was going in a coma and she was coming out of a coma. And then all of a sudden, when she came out of the coma, one of the comas, she came and said to me, I saw a man and a woman came to me from the other world and spoke to me. And then she went back out into the coma and then she ended up dying. And I said, yeah, well, who was the man and woman? What did she say to your mother? Did your mother say it was Jesus and Mary and that Jesus told her that she has to be Catholic to be saved? He goes, no, the man and woman didn't say that. I said, then that wasn't Jesus and Mary, pal. I'm sorry. Because if it was Jesus and Mary coming to save her at the last moment, they surely would have told her what she needed to do to be saved. See, because we read in scriptures, you have to believe in Jesus to be saved. Our Lord says that in Mark 16:16. He who does not believe is condemned. And in John 3:35, he who does not believe in the Son of God shall be under the wrath of God. And Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And then also, not only do we have to believe in Jesus, we have to believe in the Catholic Jesus, his church. He tells us in Mark 18:17-18, anybody who will not hear the church is a heathen. In Matthew 18:17-18, he who will not hear the church is a heathen and publican. So it's not enough just to believe in Jesus, but that's the first step, but you've got to believe in Jesus' Catholic church, which is mystical body. Okay, now, in that particular thing, I told you that your mother is not saved on the evidence you gave me. Because if that was Jesus and Mary, the true Jesus would have told her she needs to be Catholic. Okay? Now, we're not disputing the fact that people can convert on their deathbed. Fine, that can happen. We're going to get into later on how rare it is, and it's also presumptuous to put your hope in that. And anybody who thinks they can wait till their deathbed and then convert, you're already tempting God, and I guarantee you, you're not going to get a deathbed conversion for tempting God. That's another issue. We're going to get back into that as we go later on. Now, we're going to teach you how to deal with these heretics that are very crafty when they come up and to say to us, well, you don't know if any one particular person is hell. We say, no, we don't. If he converted before he died on his deathbed, something happened, a miraculous conversion, fine, okay? Then he's Catholic, he's not a Protestant, or he's not an apostate Jew, or he's not a Muslim. He is now a Catholic, and he goes to his judgment as a Catholic. But he converted before he died. And you have to press them on that point. You go, but here's what you say to these people. And I'm going to relate it to a debate I had with this guy, my trip to the CMRI. It's in one of my books there. And I had a debate with a CMRI heretic who denies the salvation dogma. His name was Chris. And I mentioned this in some of my other sermons. He was taping and never gave me the tape because it made him look like a fool. Him and that heretic Pashkouris up there at the CMRI. Abominable heretics. They believe that somebody who dies is an apostate Jew. And who dies as a Muslim can be saved. Now, this Chris was evasive at first. I went up and I asked him, I said, Chris, to somebody who dies as a Muslim, could he be saved? He says, well, we don't know what happened to the last minute before he died. He could be saved. No, no, I agree. If he converted on his last minute before he died and became Catholic, I agree he could be saved. No, he dies as a Muslim, Chris. He dies as a Muslim. Could he be saved? No, well, we don't know what happens at the moment of death and before he goes to his particular judgment. Okay, Chris, I agree. He could be raised up from the dead again. He could be put in his flesh. And he could have a second chance to accept Christ and become Catholic and reject Islam. God could raise him from the dead. Because God also rose infants from the dead and adults that died who weren't baptized so they can be baptized and let them die again. And that gets into our point. This is how tricky they get. So you're learning all their tricks. What we call death, death. Death, Jesus, remember when he said to Lazarus, Lazarus only sleepeth? I go to rise him up. And the apostle said, well, if he's sleeping, then we have no problem. And Jesus says, no, he's dead. But why did Jesus say sleeping? Because he wasn't dead, dead. Dead, dead is when you die and go to your particular judgment. Once you're before the particular judgment throne, and then there's only three judgments you can expect, heaven, hell, or purgatory. If you go to purgatory, you're going to get to heaven. That's what happens on your particular judgment. After that happens, you never get a second chance in life. Because then that would be like God giving you a second life. Now, if God raises you up from the dead before you go to your particular judgment, then you're still resuming your one life. We read about the account with Lazarus in and we're going to read it from the Gospels here in John 11:11-14, where it says, Lazarus, our friend, sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. His disciples therefore said, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. But Jesus spoke of his death, and they thought he spoke of his repose of sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now, when Jesus raises people up, and he's done that, by the way, folks, with people who needed to be baptized, so they can be baptized with water and then let them die right after it. That's one proof we use as the absolute necessity of baptism by water. We're not going to talk about that today, though. All right? So now, when you're debating these guys, he goes, well, we don't know what happened after he died and before he went to his particular judgment. I says, I agree, he could be raised up from the dead and put in his flesh. And by the way, when they repent, they have to be in their flesh, not just in their soul. They have to be put back in their flesh to resume their one life. And then he would add, let's say, for instance, we have Joe Moslem, Muhammad. He dies. He doesn't go to his particular judgment yet. God raises him up from the dead and puts him back in his flesh. And then while he's in his flesh goes, I reject the false prophet Muhammad. He was a false prophet. I reject Islam. The Catholic God told me it's false, and I embrace the Catholic God. I embrace the Catholic religion. I embrace the Catholic Church with my whole heart. Now he's Catholic, and now God could kill him, and he has a chance to be saved. Fine. So, what you got to do to guys, I said, okay, Chris. I said, we have a Muslim, Muhammad. He dies as a Muslim and goes to his particular judgment as a Muslim. What happens to him? He doesn't repent. He doesn't convert. He never does. He doesn't want to accept you. What happens to him? He goes, well, we don't know what happens in the last moment of death. Now, everybody in the room said, oh, Chris, you're being a bad will now. Come on. You hear what he's telling you. I said, so you tell me all Muslims convert on their deathbed? We're talking about a Muslim, not any Muslim that I know for certain, but a Muslim who doesn't convert on his deathbed. You're not telling me they all convert on their deathbed, do you? Well, let's talk about him now. Let's focus on him. So I pinned him down. And he had to say it then. He got stuck. I said, now let's go back over it again, Chris. Everybody took him to task on it. That's too much. I said, okay, Muhammad dies as a Muslim. He goes to his particular judgment before Jesus Christ as a Muslim. Can he be saved? And Chris said, I don't know. And then I got him. I said, you're a heretic. That's it. I caught you. I knew it. You guys all deny the salvation dogma. Why? Because we know everybody who dies and goes to his particular judgment as a Muslim is damned. We know everybody who dies as a Talmudic Jew who doesn't and goes to his particular judgment is damned. We know everybody who dies as a Protestant goes to particular judgment is damned. That's dogma. So I caught him. You can't doubt a dogma. Him just saying, I don't know, is doubting a dogma. So I caught him. I said, you're a heretic. I got you. Bull cantate domino.
Let's see what type of people Jesus tells us go to hell. We're reading from the Holy Scriptures, Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned, end quote. And we read from John 3:36, Jesus says, he that believeth in the Son hath life everlasting, but he that believeth not in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him, end quote.
And we're going to read the church's teachings, more importantly on that. We're going to read what the Catholic Church teaches about what types of people go to hell. And we're going to read one of the most powerful bulls on that. from the Council of Florence, the Bull Cantate Domino, from the year 1441. Now this goes to tell, now this is where the church is teaching us that everybody who dies as a non-Catholic and goes to a particular judgment is damned. I firmly believe, profess, and proclaim that all those not living within the Catholic Church, not only pagans, but also Jews and heretics and schismatics, cannot become participants in eternal life, but will depart into everlasting fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels, unless before the end of their life, the same have been added to that flock, and that the unity of the ecclesiastical body is so strong that only those remaining in it are the sacraments of the church of benefit for salvation, and do fastings, almsgiving, and other functions of piety and exercises of Christian service produce eternal reward, and that no one, whatsoever his alms gives, he has practiced, his almsgiving he has practiced, even if he has shed his blood in the name of Christ like a Protestant, can be saved unless he remained in the bosom and the unity of the Catholic Church. There it is. That everybody that dies as a non-Catholic and goes to particular judgment is damned. You can't say, I don't know, I'm not sure, I doubt it, I don't know who goes to hell, which I already proved to you is even inconsistent with a just God, who's going to tell us that most people go there and not tell us who goes there so we can avoid it. And so here the church is telling us who goes to hell. We read this in Mortali Animos, briefly, where Pius XI is teaching the types of people that go to hell. The Catholic Church is alone in keeping the true worship. This is the font of truth. This is the house of faith. This is the temple of God. If any man enter not here, or if any man goeth forth from it, he is a stranger of hope to the hope of life and eternal salvation. End quote. So all those who don't come into the church and all those who leave the church like heretics who are in the church and leave the church are damned to hell. And we go back to the Athanasian Creed of the 4th century. Unless you have the Catholic faith, you can't be saved. So what did that Chris tell me when I told him, Muhammad dies, goes to his particular judgment as a Muslim, does not convert. What happens to him? He says, I don't know. You're a heretic. He goes to hell. And you're lying to these people on earth by giving them the false presumption that they can end up dying in their false belief and be saved. No, they cannot. Now, when you tell a person, like I told that Protestant, pal, he got scared and I heard it in his voice. I said, you better not tempt God, because if you wait for your deathbed and you're tempting God, it ain't going to happen. I says, but at least you now know what you need to do before you die, pal. You need to say, I reject my false religion of Lutheranism. I reject Martin Luther as an abominable apostate and heretic. And I accept the Catholic Church, I accept the true Jesus, who's the Catholic Jesus, I accept the papacy, I accept everything the Holy Roman Catholic Church teaches, and I want to be Catholic. Unless you do that before you die, you're damned. Done deal, damned. And this went, now I caught this guy because he was evasive. It took me, I'm telling you, if you heard the tape, it was about a half hour to get him to say that. And all the people were saying, now Chris, you're a bad boy. He's not talking about any one Muslim. Because then he would also, in between when this was going on, he says, well, we don't know about what goes on with the soul with any particular person. He says, I agree, any particular person. So we're talking about Muslims in general. You know, I said, are you telling me every Muslim that dies converts on his deathbed? Surely not. He couldn't find it in him to even say one Muslim is in hell. You understand? It's a denial of the existence, ultimately, of hell, unless just Lucifer's in there.
Yeah.
Okay? So what's happening with these people is everything working okay on there?
Yeah.
All right, so now we're getting the picture of what's going on here. I'm trying to give you people some apologetical stuff on how to handle these people when they try to tell you about that moment of death stuff. Now, I don't deny that people can convert on their deathbed, but when we end, I don't know if we're going to finish it today. I'm going to get into the fact that it's a horrible thing for you to hope for that, because it's very, very, very rare. It happens. The good thief did it. It can happen, but it's very, very rare. And I will tell anybody who says, like my brother-in-law said to me while you were at the table one day, he said, you mean to tell me, Rich, I can go on sinning my whole life and wait till I die and then convert? I says, I won't even say his name. I was, wow, this is my brother-in-law. I said, hey, Hans, let me tell you something. I says, with you thinking like that, I guarantee you, you ain't going to get no deathbed conversion. You're tempting God. You may die tomorrow in an accident on the way home, and you won't have time. God will never give anybody with that attitude a deathbed conversion. That's just one thing we're going to get into later. My main thing I'm focusing on here now is that there is a hell. Jesus told us and God told us most people go to hell. He's a loving and just God. He's not going to tell us what types of people, leave it secret to us, what kind of people go there, Lord. Can you tell me so I don't end up becoming one of them? All right, now We're going to go to show you how bad this heresy got. We're going to use a clip from an apostate priest from the Vatican II Church. He calls himself a Jesuit. He's not. He calls himself a Catholic. He's not. He's an apostate. Oh, he looks nice and neat, you know, whole hair combed, real neat, looks real like a traditionalist type of a guy. He's an abominable liberal apostate. You're going to hear from him right now. We're going to run the clip. This was on a TV show that was on the History Channel, in which they were dealing with hell. And they asked this guy a question about who goes to hell. And I'm going to let his words speak for themselves. We go to the clip now.
For those who do believe in hell, the fundamental question remains, who goes there?
We don't really know who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. Some Christians, for example, in the Russian Orthodox tradition, nourish the hope that in the end, all people will be saved, including the devil, including Satan. But that's one of the great mysteries. It's one of those questions that we really don't know the answer to.
And this apostate priest's name is Father Thomas Rausch, S.J., from the Theological Studies of Loyola Marymount University. Now, he's supposed to be a priest of Jesus Christ, who's supposed to be here to help people save their souls. And he ain't got the faintest idea who goes to hell. Not the faintest idea. Is this guy a wolf in sheep's clothing? This guy's an abominable bastard. He's even illogical according to pagan standards. If I was a pagan, I'd come, Father, you got a collar on. What's your purpose in life?
Yeah.
My purpose in life is to try to tell people how to get to heaven. Well, you just said over here, you have no idea who goes to hell. It's a great mystery. Now, we're going to get back. I want to follow. We're going to get back to this guy in a minute, but I'm going to get back to another heresy you heard him say here in the beginning. He said it's a great mystery. We don't know who's in hell. And according to the early, to the Greeks' fathers, he's the Greek. Didn't he say the Greek?
Russian.
Oh, the current day Russian Orthodox who gets their teachings from the early Greek fathers. He said they believe that Satan will be released from prison when the world is over and all the damned human beings will be released from hell and therefore hell will no longer exist. So let's refute his heresy number. That's another heresy. That has been condemned by the unanimous consensus of the apostles and other true church fathers and thus condemned by the ordinary magisterium in A.D. 33 on Pentecost Day. And it was formally condemned by the Solemn Magisterium, by Popes Pontian and Fabian in the 3rd century, by Pope St. Anastasius I in 400, and at the Second Council of Constantinople in 553. Hence, from Pentecost Day, the Universal Salvation Heresy has been condemned as heretical, Father Rausch, you bastard liar. You're trying to tell people this is a viable opinion? It is not. We're going to read where it was condemned in the Second Council of Constantinople in the year 553. And this is from the section called the Anathemas of the Emperor Justinian against Origen. And it has to do with point number 9. And this is an infallible ecumenical council. If anyone says or thinks that the punishment of the demons or of impious men is only temporary and will one day have an end, and that a restoration will take place of demons and of impious men, let him be anathema. You are anathema, Father Rausch, and everybody that believes like you. And if you don't believe that's true, then what church do you belong to? Who do you choose to follow? That's Peter the Pope speaking in the year 553. If you're not going to listen to him, who are you going to listen to? Modernist heretics who've changed all the dogmas to open up the gates to heaven for every obstinate reprobate. And I'm telling you, you have no right to even wear that collar. And if you were here and the Catholic Church and I had power over you, pal, you're given 3 months to repent and you're dying. We're killing you after 3 months. If you repent, fine, you can go to heaven, but we're killing you. That's an abominable heresy you're teaching people. And you're teaching it to them in the name of the Catholic God who you don't even know. And you're giving people a false confidence that they can be saved while not believing in Jesus or not being Catholic. Now, I just pointed out one of this guy's heresies. The other one was he says he doesn't know what type of people go to hell. I already refuted that by the Bull Cantate Domino. No Jew, no heretic, no Muslim, no Protestant, no schismatic who dies that way and goes to particular judgment can be saved. End of discussion. St. Paul tells us, throughout the epistles, all types of people that go to hell. Let's read what St. Paul teaches in the Holy Scriptures about the types of people that are going to hell. Father Rausch says, I don't know. I got the foggiest idea. What do I know? I'm just a stupid idiot. Yeah, you are a stupid idiot. I wish you would have said that. But these guys pretend to be geniuses. They're so intellectual idiots. Their brains got so big, they became stupid. Now look, you're going to see here what St. Paul says. What does St. Paul say in some scriptures here? For know you and understand that no fornicator or unclean or covetous person, which is a serving of idols, hath the inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God, Ephesians 5:5. That's even Catholics who are mortal sins go to hell. If a Catholic's committing adultery and dies that way, he goes to hell. Then we also read, St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:4 that unbelievers are damned. 2 Corinthians 6:9 to 11. And we also read in the book of the Apocalypse here, with St. John rewriting this. Without are the dogs and the sorcerers, the unchaste, the murderers, the servers of idols, and everyone that loveth to make a lie, the fearful and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars. They have their portion in a pool burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Apocalypse 22, 15, verses 21, and chapter 20, verse 8. That's who goes to hell. Pretty clear, no confusion. This Father Roche doesn't even read his Bible. But I tell you, folks, you know why he doesn't read his Bible? Because he don't like it. He doesn't like the Bible. He doesn't like the Catholic faith. He is an absolute hater of the true Christ and the true church. And his job is to subvert the people and to give them a false confidence that everybody can be saved. And I'll go one step further to prove his hypocrisy. More is illogical, which pagans can even pick out. You just noticed he said that we don't know what type of people go to hell, which is heresy. Oh, but let's find out how quick he is to tell us what kind of people go to heaven. We're going to listen to that right now. Oh, he knows who can get to heaven. But wait a second now. If he knows who can get to heaven, then wouldn't that mean those who aren't there would be going to hell? Oh, but wait till you hear who he says who goes to heaven. We're going to go to the tape.
In recent decades, Catholics and many Protestant denominations have revised their interpretations of Scripture in a less restrictive fashion, opening the gates of heaven to a wider audience.
Vatican II says very clearly that those who practice the other great religions of the world, and even those who have no religion at all, but who strive to live according to the graces that God offers to all people, can be saved.
Okay, so now this Father Roosh, this apostate, is telling us who can be saved. But then if he's telling us who can be saved, how come he can't tell us who's going to hell? But here's the worst part of it. He's opened the gates of salvation to literally every person on earth that worships every false god, every false religion, every idol, and that is heresy. The Catholic Church and even Jesus himself, even some conservative Protestants at least believe you have to believe in Jesus. This guy's saying Muslims, Buddhists, people that deny Christ can be saved. And the Catholic Church teaches not even Protestants can be saved. And you notice how he links it to Vatican II. Indeed, this is what teaches us that the apostate Second Vatican Council is an abomination. In no way could it be Catholic. The Catholic Church cannot contradict herself. She's the infallible truth. She's Christ himself. How could Christ teach us one day, the Holy Ghost, that no Jew, no heretic, no Muslim, no Protestant can be saved, and then Vatican II comes along and says, guess what? God just told us something new. All these people that couldn't be saved, they can now all be saved when they die that way. That's what the Second Vatican Council teaches. And that's what all that's being taught long before Second Vatican Council. We won't get into that now. But that's when it really became, it was even prominent before that. But you listen to what this Roosh is saying here. He's absolutely denying. I have a list of infallible teachings. I say at least 50 of the papal teachings alone that condemn what he said. I just read the book Contacti Domino from Florence. End of discussion. No Jew, no Protestant. He's saying, indeed, they can be saved, and even an atheist can be saved. And that's what apostate anti-pope John Paul II teaches, and all these people that belong to this church. And guess what, folks? It's not just the Vatican II church. All these traditionalist heretics and the Sede Vacanti groups that deny this the salvation dogma, they believe just like he does. So what right do they have to separate from the Vatican II church and denounce her for some other sins when they themselves are holding the root sin that led us to this problem, which is the denial of the salvation dogma? The minute you start saying you can be saved without believing in Jesus and being Catholic, you deny the whole purpose of the church. You deny the whole purpose of Christ's death on the cross. It's a complete and utter denial of Jesus. Everything else after that is just gravy. That's all. It's just more or worse corruption. But that's as bad as it can get. And traditionalist heretics are agreeing with this guy, this nice, neat-looking apostate. And I say to you, Father Roosh, you die the way you die right now and go to your particular judgment. I am telling you, you are definitely going to hell. That's dogma, because you're a heretic and you're an apostate. That's dogma. And mark my words on that, and anybody else who believes like him. Now, but it's ironic, though. I talk about how illogic they are, too. He can't say anybody's in hell, but he can sure tell us who gets to heaven. But then if he can tell who gets to heaven, then he can tell who gets to that goes to hell. And if you can tell who goes to hell and who don't go to hell goes to heaven. Hey, that's a 2+2, pal. You're just seeing a lot of lies from this guy over here, okay? Now, that's some of the worst stuff. Now, they're also very timid when it comes to saying, like, God doesn't kill people. God doesn't destroy people. God, technically, God really kills everybody because it's either the devil he allows to kill people or a plague or God himself kills you. But all death flows. God is the one who gives the permission that people should die. And also, he's very timid when it comes to saying, well, how do people end up going to hell? Well, he gives another typical liberal thing. It's a half-truth with a half-heresy. The truth is, he said, the truth of party says, well, people go to hell because of their own fault, because they choose to go to hell. Well, he doesn't tell you who goes to hell. He doesn't know who goes there. But it was people go to hell because they choose to go to hell, but God doesn't send anybody there. Oh, so what do you mean? They go themselves? They on their own volition? Hey, guess what? I'll take a ticket down here to this hot place. I want to go here with these ugly people and burn forever. What, they go by themselves? Who sends them there? God sends them there. He kicks their souls right down into hell, and he locks them up down there. Yes, God kills people, God judges people, he sends them down to hell, and he locks them up in hell, and God burns them in hell. They don't burn by their, where's the fire come from? You got to be an idiot to put yourself on fire and stay in it when you can put it out. I don't think anybody can imagine that. Well, let's listen to what he says right here on the next clip.
Even those who agree on a day of judgment differ on what it means to go to hell.
It's really not very good theology to say that God punishes us, that God sends people to hell. If people go to hell, it's because they have somewhere along in the course of their lives made a decision that they will not, need not, do not have to live in relationship with God.
Here you have it. You have an impotent God. A God who sits up in heaven and has no power to punish, and he doesn't punish. Well, then who punishes? Who does it? Really, think about it. Who does it? What person in their right mind is going to want to go to hell and send themselves there and start a fire and then burn it? You know? That's what he's trying to tell us. No, God, anytime you die, God has always given his permission to it. And that's why people say everything's got to be referred back to God. You die when God says you die, and you live when God says you live. It's in Deuteronomy 32, 35, or 39. God maketh to live. See that there's no other God besides me, because I strike and I kill, I make to live and I heal. God strikes and he kills. And he makes to live, and he makes to die. That's God. And the God is the one who allows you to be killed. And when he gives the permission, you're killed. And if he doesn't give the permission, you're not killed. All 9/11 was by the permission of God. All plagues, all these things that God did to Pharaoh in Egypt. Who did that? What human being could have done what God did? God did it. But according to the modernists, God doesn't punish people. He doesn't spank them. He doesn't hurt them. He doesn't yell at them. He's a big, mushy teddy bear that just sits up there and says, everybody can do what they want. You can invoke your own punishments and do whatever you want. You see? Now, where was the half-truth in this? Oh, yes, people do go to hell because it's their own fault. But nevertheless, it's God who sends them there. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's throughout the scriptures. St. Paul says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12. And then not only do they end... And are you telling me in your right mind, you stupid, dummy priest, you devil, that people are going to go down there on their own volition? No, they're thrown down to hell. God throws them down there. He kicks them down there, and he locks them up, and he lights the fire. And nobody can be staying in that fire if they can put it out. So who stoked in that fire? And if God gave the devil, and the devil himself is even burning in hell. But this is another heresy I don't want to dwell on too much, but here's another thing from this liberal bastard that I have just exposed to you. Now, we're going to finish up with one thing. We're going to continue with this thing next week, or when I have another time to do it. But I want to say one thing on this, that even though we can't know what individual person goes to hell because he may have converted on his deathbed, we do know that if they die that way, as I said, they will go to hell. Now, that's why Pius X wisely, in his holy office, answered this question. There was a question posed to the holy office under Pius X, which said, and this is from the Sacred Congregation of the Propagation of the Faith in 1907. An answer to a question as to whether Confucius could have been saved, wrote, it is not allowed to affirm that Confucius was saved. Christians, when interrogated, must answer that all those who die as infidels are damned. You have to presume he's in hell because there was no proof that he repented. And that's the teaching of the church, that anybody who shows no external manifestations of converting is presumed to be in hell. We read that from Canon Law 1240 in the 1917 Code. The following persons are deprived of ecclesiastical burial unless they have before death given some sign of repentance. One, notorious apostates from the Christian faith, notorious adherents of an heretical or schismatic sect, or of the Masonic order or of societies of the same kind. Two, persons excommunicated or interdicted by condemnatory or declaratory sentence. And six, other public and manifest sinners, which includes unbelievers and non-Catholics. None of these can be prayed for as faithful departed. They all have to be presumed in hell. If God did not make anybody's conversion manifest to at least one or two or some credible witness, my opinion is that's a sure sign they're damned. But that's only my opinion. And the saints, some of the saints held this. Listen to St. Gregory the Great. What St. Gregory the Great teaches is Immoral Theologica. He teaches, there is the same reason for not praying then for men condemned to the everlasting fire, as there is now for not praying for the devil and his angels, who are sentenced to eternal punishment. And for this reason, the saints pray not for the dead unbelieving and the wicked men, because forsooth, knowing them to be already condemned to eternal punishment, they shrink from pleading for them by the merit of their prayers before they are summoned to the presence of the just judge. We can no more pray for a deceased infidel than we can pray for the devil, since they are condemned to the same eternal and irrevocable damnation. Now, that's how convinced they were that if there was no manifest sign, that they believed they were in hell. Now, I agree, that's an opinion. I happen to agree with it. I'm going to get into that in my second part, why I agree with that opinion. They're the point saying, they're in hell, pal, done deal. If after several years, nobody comes forth to say, hey, guess what, we got this thing all wrong, the guy converted before he died and is a credible witness, he's in hell. I believe that, but that's still only an opinion. But I will tell you one thing you can absolutely know for sure, and there is one way we can know individual people are in hell, if God gives a special revelation from heaven and tells us who is in hell. Now, does anybody have any knowledge of that we know who's in hell already because God told us?
Judas.
Judas Iscariot. Now, here's another heresy of the day in the conciliar church. Nobody can even say Judas is damned. Oh, no? Nobody can say Judas is damned? Our Lord Jesus Christ said Judas is damned. Let's read this from Matthew 26, 24 to 25. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man shall be betrayed. It were better for him if that man had not been born. And Judas that betrayed him answering said, is it I, Rabbi? And he saith to him, thou hast said it. And so what is Jesus saying? Better not you been born. So that means he's definitely in hell, because God would never say that about somebody who's going to heaven. So Judas is right now in hell saying forever, I wish I was never born. I wish I was never born. No one says that in heaven. That's hell. But I'm going to one-up you. I'm going to give you another one. Luke 17, 12, when Jesus said this. And he said, I don't have it here, but it goes, Father, all whom thou hast given me I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, which is Judas. Everybody knows that means Judas. Mm-hmm. Jesus now told us, by special revelation, that Judas is definitely in hell. So that's a dogma. It's an ordinary magisterial dogma. That Judas is in hell, because popes have mentioned it somewhere, I'm sure, in their encyclicals, but even Christ is saying it here. So by special revelation from God, we know that Judas is damned. And if God came and told one of the saints, so-and-so is in hell, and he gave miracles to prove it, that's pretty good. But when it's scripture, it's dogma. We also know two other characters are going to be damned to hell. And who are they?
The Antichrist and the false prophet.
The Antichrist and the false prophet are done deals. If you know you're dealing with the Antichrist and a false prophet for sure, those are the only two people you don't have to pray for, and you shouldn't even pray for, because if you know they're the Antichrist and false prophet, they're damned. Why? Again, let's read the book of the Apocalypse, St. John, and it's the angel talking to St. John. John's seeing these things. We read from the book of the Apocalypse, chapter 19, verses 20, and the beast, who is the Antichrist, he's referred to as the beast, was taken, and with him the false prophet, who wrought signs before him, wherewith he seduced them who received the character of the beast, and who adores his image. These two were cast alive into the pool of fire, burning with brimstone. Apocalypse 19:20. And Apocalypse 20:10. And the false prophet shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's De Fide. The false prophet and Antichrist are going to hell. So when we see them, we can say, you're definitely under a hold, you got no hope. Who else do we know is in hell? The Schism of Core. Those children that rebelled at Kor, God opened up the earth and burned them on earth and sent them into hell alive. Who else do we know is in hell? every single citizen of Sodom, except for Lot and his two daughters. Even his wife ended up in hell. Why? Let's read the scriptures. We read this from St. Jude 1, chapter 7. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighboring cities in like manner, having given themselves to fornication and going after other flesh, were made an example, suffering the punishment of eternal fire. All those citizens are damned too. And I will tell you, it's a sure bet that when somebody dies a sudden death, don't put no hope in God resurrecting that person back up and putting him in his flesh and re-preaching to him. That's a sure sign he's damned. But we'll get into that later. All I'm telling you people out there now is, and next week we'll continue with the sermon, is as a Catholic you have to believe this. You have to know what type of people end up in hell or you're a heretic. We don't know if any particular person's in hell unless God tells us, because there's a chance they can convert it on their deathbed like the good thief converted on his deathbed. But you absolutely must believe this, and this is part of the salvation dogma, what type of people are in hell. And anybody who dies as a non-Catholic and anybody who dies as a Catholic in mortal sin are absolutely and definitely in hell. And if you don't believe that, you're a heretic. You're outside the church. And unless you convert and repent before you die, you're going to go to that same hell. End of sermon for part one. It's July 8th, year 2007. And it's also the feast day of St. Elizabeth, Queen of Portugal. Now, we're going to conclude with a brief segment on church teachings here. We're going to give you them one after another, but I'm going to make one comment about what you were just listening to over there, the concept about these heretics, how we can trap them when we tell them that if a Talmudic Jew dies as a Talmudic Jew and goes to this particular judgment, does he go to hell, or does he go to heaven, or does he go to purgatory? If they don't say he goes to hell, they're heretics. We already went over that sufficiently enough. But it needs to be said, though, with that belief, you can also trap these people who deny the salvation dogma craftily by asking him this question, because for them to believe that, they have to also believe that that Talmudic Jew, when he was living, or the Muslim, when he was living, was also inside the church. And indeed, that is really what they believe. So you can even ask them like this, is it possible for a Talmudic Jew who denies Christ and believes in Talmudic Judaism to actually be inside the Catholic Church? And they will say yes. That's what they all say, because that's why they have him when he dies and goes to particular judgment as a Talmudic Jew. They have him being saved because they say he's inside the Catholic Church, but he don't even know it. And he, in spite of the fact that he even militantly resists the Catholic Church and says, I don't want to be inside her, the heretics will tell you that guy could actually, while he's practicing Talmudic Judaism in his synagogue, could actually be inside the Catholic Church. So you can also trap him on that one. That's what they believe in. And thus, he can have a hope for salvation. You'll catch them on that one by just simply asking in that question on, is it possible? And here's the other last part on this one topic. The salvation heretics will say two things on that topic. They'll say he's inside the Catholic Church, doesn't even know it. And they will say, for instance, if it's a Talmudic Jew, they'll say he's a Talmudic Jew of good faith. They say he has good faith. Well, how could you have a good faith when you're worshiping a false god and practicing a false faith and a false religion? But that's what they will say. They will say he is of good faith, and therefore he's inside the Catholic Church. But technically speaking, if he's inside the Catholic Church and he's in the way of salvation, he'd have to be a Catholic. Now indeed, some of the salvation heretics will go as far as to even say they are implicitly Catholics. So therefore they really are Catholic. So even though this Talmudic Jew is telling you, no, I hate Catholicism, I don't ever want to be a Catholic, I'm a Talmudic Jew, and I believe in Talmudic Judaism, you can say, well, no, you know, you really may be a Catholic, and you really believe in Catholicism, and you're obeying the Catholic God. He'll spit on you, and rightly so. Maybe he'll punch you in the face, and God will let him punch your face out. I mean, that's how stupid it is. That's what they believe in, folks. So you don't even have to go that far as to tell him what happens to that guy when he dies and goes to his particular judgment. You just tell him, do you believe that there's such thing? Is it possible for a Talmudic Jew or a Muslim to actually be inside the Catholic Church while he's worshiping his false god and practicing his false religion? They will say yes. And some of them, like the apostate Diamond Brothers, will even go as far as to say, when in regards to Protestants, that they're actually Catholic and don't even know it. You can have a Protestant kid who's like 9 years old and he's a Lutheran. He goes to the Lutheran church. He says he's a Lutheran. The Diamond Brothers will tell you he could be actually inside the Catholic Church and not know it. And the Diamonds would say, well, he's not a Protestant. He's actually a Catholic. In spite of the fact that the kid says he's a Lutheran, goes to the Lutheran church, and never heard of the Catholic Church, how could you have something you never even heard of? Or he heard of it worse and even rejected it. That's what the diamonds would say. But they would say that, in particular in the case who never heard of the Catholic Church, never heard of the Catholic faith, he says he's a Lutheran. Diamond brothers, who are the most crafty heretics, will say that kid's actually a Catholic. And you don't even know it. Okay, so that's a little tip off on what these people are saying. Now we're going to get back to that one comment of that bastard priest, Father Rausch, that apostate heretic, when he came out and he said, and they asked him, who goes to hell? And he came out and said, it's a great mystery. We don't know who goes to heaven and hell. Well, I want to make another comparison to that. That's similar to going up to a professor in mathematics. And he's got a PhD in mathematics and went to 16 years of college and professorship, and he's the professor. And you go, professor, can you tell me how I can add and subtract? And he goes, it's a great mystery to me. I don't know how to add nor subtract. It's the equivalent of that. Because a priest, in particular a real Catholic priest, his job on earth is to tell you how to get to heaven and how to avoid to hell, what types of people go to hell and what type of people go to heaven. If he can't do that, then what good is he? If he comes up and tells you, it's really in the denial of original sin, the fact that all men are born in damnation, that Christ came to redeem men so they can be saved. Now, if he believes in all those dogmas, then how can he say he doesn't know who goes to hell or goes to heaven? So what's the purpose of all those dogmas if it's not necessary for men to believe in those dogmas and obey those dogmas to be able to be saved? Why did Christ come and die on the cross? What's the condition of man when he fell from the Garden of Eden? When this priest says it's a mystery he doesn't know, guess what he denied? The whole deposit of the Catholic faith. He denied original sin. He doesn't know that men are born in original sin. He doesn't know that men need to be washed clean of it. He doesn't believe that original sin alone will send men to hell. He doesn't believe that mortal sins will send men to hell. He doesn't believe that worshiping false gods and practicing false religions will send men to hell. He even goes as far as to say they go to heaven. But my point is this. What kind of a God, as I said last week, is this, who comes out and tells us that most people are going to hell, but he doesn't tell us who are going to hell, what types of people are going to hell, so we can avoid it? Now, we're going to talk about the first abominable apostate heresy of this priest. He says, we don't know these mysteries. Well, wasn't the purpose of God's revelation to mankind so that they could know the supernatural revelations from God, which are mysteries of faith that men must know in order to be saved? Mm-hmm. Isn't that God, what God's been doing to mankind from the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, mm-hmm. is revealing to mankind those mysteries of faith that men need to be saved? This is a basic dogma of the Catholic Church. The mysteries of faith that we need to be saved were revealed to us by God. And infallibly defined by his Catholic Church. So we're going to first refute this first heresy, this priest, that he's actually saying that God has not revealed his mysteries to us. And we're going to read from the Catholic Church's infallible teachings, indeed, God has revealed his mysteries to us, he even sent his son down on earth to speak to us. And we're going to start out with even one Bible verse here, where it says, Ecclesiasticus 42:19. For the Lord knoweth all knowledge, and he hath beheld the signs of the world. He declareth the things that are past, and the things that are to come, and revealest the traces of hidden things. He tells us hidden things. And we read from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 6, verse 27 and 24. Receive therefore instruction by my words, and it will be profitable to you. Now what wisdom is, and what was her origin? I will declare, and I will not hide from you the mysteries of God. Mm-hmm. But will seek her out from the beginnings of her birth, and bring the knowledge of her to the light, and will not pass over the truth. Did you hear that, Rausch? God promises to reveal his mysteries to mankind. In particular, the mysteries they need to save their soul, which the Catholic Church calls supernatural revelation. He's even denying that. Now we're going to get into the Catholic Church's teachings on supernatural revelations, mysteries of God which we cannot know unless God reveals them to us. We read from the Vatican Council of 1870, Session 3, Chapter 2. On revelation. Things can be known with certitude by the natural light of human reasoning from created things. It was, however, pleasing to God's wisdom and goodness to reveal himself and the eternal laws of his will to the human race by another, and that a supernatural way. End quote. And Rausch goes, I don't know the mysteries. I don't know. I'm just a stupid priest. What do you think I am? No, he's an apostate priest is what he is. Could be an infiltrator even. Now we read from the Vatican Council of 1870 on faith and reason. Session 3, Chapter 4. There is a twofold order of knowledge, and that these two orders are distinguished one from the one from another, not only in their principle, but in their object. In one we know by natural reason, and the other by divine faith. The object of the one is truth attainable by natural reason. The object of the other is the mysteries hidden in God by which we believe, have to believe, and which can only be known by divine supernatural revelation. So he's saying God also reveals to us these supernatural revelations that are above our natural ability to find out, and he indeed reveals them to us so we may be saved and so that we can know what we need to do so as to go to heaven and to go to as to go to heaven and not go to hell. Now, this right here is also said that we need to know it. We need to know it to be saved. And Roush tells you, I don't know it. What are you asking me for? Again, it's like asking a math professor how to add and subtract. And he says, it's a great mystery to me. I don't know how to add or subtract. I'm just a math professor. You know. Now, we're going to get into the last church teaching on God revealing his mysteries to mankind again from the Vatican Council of 1870, Session 3, Chapter 3 on faith. The Catholic Church professes that this supernatural faith is the beginning of human salvation, is a supernatural virtue by which we, with the aid and inspiration of the grace of God, believe the things by him are true, not because the intrinsic truth of the revealed things has been perceived by the natural light of our own reason, but because the church, but because of the authority of God himself, who reveals them through his Catholic Church, who can neither deceive nor be deceived, end quote. Roush, here we learn from the Catholic Church that God, from the church teaching herself, that God reveals his mysteries that need to be known to be saved through his Catholic Church to mankind. Again, Roush says, I don't know, it's a great mystery to us. Why are you coming to me? And in particular, this mystery to him was in regards to hell and heaven. And you notice in the beginning, he says, we don't know who go to hell and we don't know who goes to heaven. But later on, he was really wide open about who he said goes to heaven. And it really comes down to anybody can go to heaven, no matter what religion you're worshiping or no religion at all. Always quick to say that. But he never said anything about what kinds of people go to hell. Now, we're going to get into, again, some scripture verses to reiterate what the Catholic Church teaches, because it's been revealed to us by God from heaven through supernatural revelation, and in particular by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God the Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity, when he came down to earth in the womb of Mary and took on her flesh and walked the earth and preached to us and told us what we need to do under the new covenant era to be saved, Father Roush. And he also told us what's going to send us to hell. It's also been known in the old covenant, but now he's telling us more things need to be believed in the new covenant era about the incarnation, about the Catholic Church. And as I said in my last week, that the kinds of people that go to hell, which God tells us, are everybody who dies and goes to this particular judgment as a non-Catholic, that means worshiping a false god and practicing a false religion, and bad Catholics go to hell also. Bad Catholic means people who are Catholic but they're in a state of mortal sin. They go to hell. And indeed, let's start reading now. We're going to rattle off some holy scriptures and church teachings that in which God has told us what types of people go to hell. And I would tell you, Father Roush, you better read these things right now. And I know you're not stupid. You're willfully ignoring them. You're willfully evading them. Whether you're an infiltrator or an absolute blinded, willful idiot because of your obstinate, gross perversity. Either way, you're on the broad road to damnation and one of the most perverse peoples on the earth, people like you. Because you pretend to be Catholic. And you're leading people astray and making people think the Catholic God is a stupid God, a dumb God, a God of no justice, or even a God of no mercy. Now we're going to read the quotes about what types of people go to hell. Now, in these quotes from St. Paul, you're going to learn that some of them are non-Catholics and some of them are bad Catholics. And some of them can even be non-Catholics who are committing sins against the moral order. Okay? We're going to read from 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 10. Know you not that the unjust shall not possess the kingdom of God? Do not err, for neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor liars with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor railers, nor extortioners shall possess the kingdom of God. And that means they shall possess the kingdom of hell. How's that for a list? You've got to wonder what Bible these guys are reading. And then we read from Apocalypse 21:8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers, all the Harry Potter people, Lord of the Ring people, and idolaters and all liars, they shall have their portion in the pool burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Not just death of the body, but death of the soul. How's that for a list, Roush? And you told us we don't know who goes to hell. I'm telling you, folks, it's no different than telling a math professor, asking him how to do addition and subtraction. He tells you it's a great mystery to me. What kind of a man is this? And we also hear to be saved, we must hear Jesus' voice. John 10:14, the sheep follow him because they know his voice. How could a Talmudic Jew know the voice of Christ when he's absolutely in direct opposition to Christ and worshiping a false god or somebody who never heard of Christ? Now, that's just a few verses. Now, there's a whole bunch I have here. I suggest you to go to my Salvation Dogma book, and I have all the verses in here about all the teachings on what you need to be saved in the New Covenant era as far as faith is concerned. I have Bible verses, and I have the saints, and I have the popes. I can end up here by quoting some of the popes now. The papal teachings on what you need to be saved. Just a few. Now we're going to start out with the Athanasian Creed from the year 361. Whoever wishes to be saved must above all keep the Catholic faith. For unless a person keeps this faith whole and entire, he will undoubtedly be lost forever. This is the Catholic faith. Everyone must believe it firmly, steadfastly, otherwise he cannot be saved. What about that, Roche? And we're going to Pope St. Hormisdus, 514 to 523. The first condition of salvation is to keep the norm of the true faith, and in no way to deviate from the established doctrine of the fathers, end quote. Pope Pelagius II, year 579 to 590. Consider the fact that whosoever has not been in the peace and unity of the church cannot have the Lord, although given over to the flames and fires they burn, or thrown to wild beasts, they lay down their lives, there will not be for them the crown of faith, but the punishment of faithlessness. Such a one can be slain, he cannot be crowned. If slain outside the church, he cannot attain to the rewards of the church. That's in particular to Protestants, to those who profess to believe in Jesus. St. Gregory the Great. Now the Holy Church Universal proclaims that God cannot be truly worshipped, saving within herself, asserting that all they that are without her shall never be saved. All right, we're going to read from Pope Boniface the 8th, year 1302, from the Bull Unum Sanctum. With faith urging us, we are forced to believe and are to hold the one Catholic Church and that apostolic, and we firmly believe and simply confess this Church, outside which there is no salvation or remission of sins. And Pope Benedict XIV in Nuper ad Nos, the year 1758, no one can be saved without the faith of the Catholic Church, end quote, without the Catholic faith. And Pope Gregory XVI, Summo Jugiter Studio, 1832. Some of these misguided people attempt to persuade themselves and others that men are not saved only in the Catholic religion, but that even heretics may attain to eternal life. Is that not what Roush said?
Yeah.
Is that what he said? Mm-hmm. You know how zealously our predecessors taught that very article of faith which these dare to deny, namely the necessity of the Catholic faith and of the unity for salvation. The words of the celebrated disciple of the apostles, martyred St. Ignatius, in his letter to the Philadelphians, are relevant to this matter. Quote, "Be not deceived, my brother. If anyone follows the schismatic, he will not attain the inheritance of the kingdom of God," end quote. Moreover, St. Augustine and the other African bishops who met in the Council of Cirta in the year 412 explained the same thing at greater length. Quote, "Whosoever has separated himself from the Catholic Church, no matter how laudably he lives, will not have eternal life, but has earned the anger of God because of this one crime, that he abandoned his union with Christ," end quote. Omitting other appropriate passages, which are almost numberless in the writings of the fathers, we shall praise St. Gregory the Great, who expressly testifies that this indeed is the teaching of the Catholic Church. He says, quote, "The Holy Universal Church teaches that it is not possible to worship God truly except in her, and asserts that all who are outside of her will not be saved," end quote. All right, we're going to end it right here with Pope Gregory XVI, Mirare Vos, year 1832. Quote, "Now we consider another abundant source of evils with which the Church is afflicted at present, indifferentism. That this perverse opinion is spread on all sides by the fraud of the wicked, who claim that it is possible to obtain the eternal salvation of the soul by the profession of any kind of religion, as long as morality is maintained." Here Pope Gregory XVI is saying Roche is wicked and perverse. That's what he says. You can practice a false religion and be saved. "Surely, in so clear a matter, who will drive this deadly error far from the people committed to your care, with the admonition of the apostles that there is one God, one faith, one baptism. May those fear who contrive the notion that the safe harbor of salvation is open to persons of any religion whatsoever, they should consider the testimony of Christ himself, that those who are not with Christ are against him, and that they disperse unhappily who do not gather with him. Therefore, without a doubt, they will perish forever unless they hold the Catholic faith whole and inviolate. And all these things, all combined, condemn this Father Roche as a wicked, perverted, reprobated, corrupted bastard, who you heard said that everybody can get be saved who practices all the false religions out there, and even those who don't believe in all religion. And if this doesn't apply to them, then what does it apply to? Are you going to listen to the true popes? Are you going to listen to the apostate anti-popes of the Vatican II Church and all the other salvation heretics who go away long before the Vatican Council, back into the 1800s, even when they were denying it? End of sermon. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
For more teachings on judging, see my sermons ARS 84, 85, 88, and 89. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.